Let's move on to the rest of our calendar with item 774.
Amend intergovernmental agreement with the Portland Development Commission to provide funding for the design and construction of the 10th and Yamhill Smart Park Garage Renovation Project in an amount of $5 million.
Do you want to do 775 at the same time?
Yes, we could probably do read 775 as well. Thank you.
775, authorized contract with Shields Oblatz Johnson to provide owner's representative and project management services for the design and construction phases of the 10th and Yamhill Smart Park Garage Renovation Project.
Okay, as soon as we get technology to help, Lisa, Dave, who's going to kick off here? Oh, Carly, you need to help them with a PowerPoint.
What?
This is always a little bit like the Sistine
Chapel. Grab the woman from Free Geek.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
It always reminds me of the painting on the roof of the Sistine Chapel. You know, we've got to get the technology to
there it is.
It takes divine intervention to get this thing to work. All right.
Thanks for your patience.
A few more prayers and incantations will connect it all up and make it work. Okay.
Dave, Lisa, who wants to start?
Okay. Good morning, or good afternoon, Council. I'm sorry I lose my track of time, Mayor and Council. My name is Dave Benson. I'm your Parking Services Group Manager. We're here today to amend, ask your consent to amend the intergovernmental agreement with Portland Development Commission related to the 10th and Yamhill Smart Park Garage renovation project and the city's solar power loan guarantee. You may recall in 2011, solar power secured a loan from the Department of Energy for $20 million, of which the city guaranteed, and specifically PBOT, $5 million of that $20 million. This project background is the garage at the facility at 10th and Yamhill. It was built in the late 1970s, had five floors. We added two more floors in 1984. For a total of seven floors and just under 800 parking stalls. It has almost 28,000 square feet of retail space. It serves as the western anchor for the downtown retail core and serves primarily short-term visits, that's 4 hours or less, for retail and office visitors. As you know, it is the transportation hub for light rail, streetcar parking, and we'd like to add bicycle parking as a component of the future. The net revenue for the facility is $1.2 million annually, but we take a loss on the retail spaces of $80,000 to $100,000 a year. It serves approximately 41,000 vehicle parking trips per month, and the average weekday peak time occupancy is 85%.
Can I just interrupt you? How could we make a loss on the retail?
We've been pricing the retail far below market because of the disrepair of the facility. So we've been taking
so the
a
amount
time.
Of repairs we have to make isn't,
right.
doesn't cover the rent.
Right.
Got it. Thank
right.
you.
As you probably also know, that for a decade or maybe even a little more, we've been talking about redevelopment of this facility, including demolishing it and rebuilding it to where we are today. As a result, a lot of the deferred major maintenance projects have been delayed. The project goals is to preserve the building while bringing it into full compliance. We want to make sure it supports the downtown retail presence with multimodal goals. We want to improve the environment at the ground level retail and stairways, and we want to pursue ParkSmart certification, which is formerly called Green Garage certification. The project scope is take care of the general and deferred maintenance, take care of a seismic remediation. And on this point, I'll say since in 2008, we had an engineering firm take a look at it. And last year, we had two separate engineering firms look at this facility for life safety issues. And they all recommended the same thing. There's fatigue in the holes for the Skybridge bolts across that lead to target. There's wear on what are called the corbels or beam ends. There's concrete cracks and spalling, and there's rust stains on the steel deck diaphragm of bolted connections, all of which in our plan will be remediated. I will say that the NATO company actually owns the Skybridge, and they're working with their own contractor to handle that. We're going to do the ADA upgrades to the stairways and the elevators. We're going to replace lighting, steel cables, and other improvements. Obviously, we want to improve the storefront improvements, replace windows, doors, canopies, and make interior improvements, new flooring, new ceiling, partition stairs, bathrooms, the new HVAC system, which is in disrepair, plumbing, electrical, and lighting. So pretty comprehensive look. The budget is $25 million for this project. The sources, PDC is bringing $5 million to us to help us work through this project. We appropriated in fiscal year 15-16 $3.7 million. In fiscal year 15-16 added an additional $3.5 million. And then net Smart Park revenues are going to support $3.8 million of that. And then we're going to borrow $9 million, and the debt servicing on that will be repaid with revenues from the Smart Park. The hard costs, construction, tenant improvements, public art like that, are $17.4 million. Permit fees, inspection, SDC fees, testing are about $3 million of that. There's some indirect costs, project management, outreach, construction management, about $750,000. The IGA amendment, PDC contributes $5 million to the project, is identified in the original intergovernmental agreement that was first brought to council in 2011. This satisfies PDC's IGA commitment. In the coming days, PBOT and PDC will develop a management agreement where PDC manages the retail spaces after renovation. The project schedule generally is, we've already done some tenant outreach, and this year, PDC in May of this year approved this IGA amendment. We're here to you today so you can approve or consider the IGA and owner's rep contract, which we're discussing. We'll be back to you next month or early August for you to consider the contract management general contractor design contract. And it'll take us about a year to do the design and get to the guaranteed maximum price. We suspect that'll be in about this time next year. In summer of next year, all the tenants have to vacate. The way we're doing the renovation, we have to have all the tenants leave. We can't leave anybody in there. In July of next year, council will approve that guaranteed maximum price and the construction contract, and then it'll take about a year to build out. And our goal is to minimize the impact to the parking. We intend to try to keep the parking structure open to park cars, but we don't know exactly that impact, if it's going to be a floor at a time or two floors at a time. That's yet to be determined. So I'd like to introduce Lisa Abouaf from PDC, who is going to talk about the ground floor retail and re-tenanting.
Sure. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. I'm Lisa Abouaf. I'm the Central City Manager with the Portland Development Commission, and PDC has partnered with various city bureaus on this project for many years. I think I would date myself if I actually told you that the year I started working on this project. So we're very enthusiastic to bring this amendment before you today and to see renovation of the garage moving forward. Our interest in the garage has consistently been to make improvements to the garage that supported downtown retail. As Dave mentioned, kind of this started with the downtown retail strategy. We've seen a lot of improvements and invested heavily in kind of the area surrounding the garage. And so PDC, and as well as the Portland Business Alliance, who has been our partner with the downtown retail strategy, have longstanding relationships both with the garage retailers, some of whom actually participated in our joint pop-up program, as well as those retailers who are adjacent to it. Over the past year or two, as we've jointly decided with PBOT to proceed with the scope of work that Dave shared, We've maintained ongoing communication with those retailers, knowing that improvements to the garage may have an impact on their operations. What you'll see in the slide that's shown here is the scope does include anticipated changes to the retail space as we currently know it and as it's currently tenanted. That's in part tied to the site's significant grade changes that makes it challenging in terms of ADA accessibility into the retail spaces. Current garage tenants have been on a month-to-month lease that is held by the Office of Management and Finance based on projected redevelopment of the site, and this has been true for multiple years running at this point. And many of the leases are below market rate, which is one of the driving factors behind it not being revenue positive. Knowing that the tenants will need to move out of the building during construction, we did go to the tenants early. We've been holding ongoing conversations with them, both as we've been looking at the scope of work, but also as we were starting to land on the schedule to make sure that they had a long lead time in terms of looking for new locations, thinking about their business operations, et cetera. So I would just kind of recall that, in fact, their need to vacate will not occur for another year, so it won't be until next summer. We have also offered PBA in partnership with PDC. We keep an active list of vacant retail locations in the downtown core, as well as good lease information about when vacancies will be coming available. We've shared it with the tenants. We'll continue to share that information with them as they consider kind of their next steps over the next year, should they wish to relocate. In addition to seeing the retail space improved, PDC is also interested via this amendment in a master lease to create new opportunities for us to implement some of our work that we mapped out for you in our strategic plan. Specifically, we started discussions with some of our network providers that conventionally we've worked with in our neighborhood scale development, but not necessarily in Central City, providers such as MISO and the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, to identify how a PDC-managed downtown retail space could further their opportunities for wealth creation within the businesses that they provide technical assistance to, wanting to make sure that we don't overbuild the space or underbuild the space in terms of their partners' interests. We anticipate conducting ongoing outreach and coordination with those partners. We convene a group of network providers who do small business technical assistance over the next 6 months as we work with PBOT in terms of the master lease around retail, start to think about the space that works for their partners, helps us implement our strategic plan. And then having identified and prioritized those opportunities, we then anticipate pursuing a competitive marketing and leasing approach to make sure that we get the kind of a good retail mix that supports the retailers who are going back into the garage and being successful. So with that, I think we have one final
slide. Yeah, a little final slide. The council action today is we'd ask that you approve the amended intergovernmental agreement with Portland Development Commission related to solar power and the 10th and Yamhill garage renovation project. And, Mayor, I believe you added the next agenda item, which is the owner's agent, which in short is a project manager. We just don't have the bandwidth at PBOT to manage this project along with the other projects we're currently managing. We've done this before, and it's to hire this consultant to look out for the city's interests and our interests and manage the project going forward.
So I have two questions. One, you mentioned that the earthquake safety was going to be just life safety level. We're paying $25 million, and we don't know that this will be up after the big one.
Well, it depends what we define as the big one. I mean, there are different gradations on that. We're very interested in the design that promotes life safety, and if there's anything when the engineers get into the garage that would tell us that there's a greater risk or things that we would reconsider and look at upgrades. But, I mean, the problem with all hazards or things that will absolutely stand up no matter what, it's a pretty high engineering standard. Okay. And we're really interested in protecting life.
Well, I understand that, but we're also paying $25 million. So how much would it cost to...
I have no idea.
Okay. Explain to me the solar power loan. Where does that come in?
Yeah, the solar power loan was with the Department of Energy. Solar power was going to locate in the Enterprise Zone in Portland and, the name implies, develop solar panels. They borrowed $20 million. The city of Portland was required, as part of that arrangement that PDC helped broker, $5 million of that loan. And as part of that arrangement, PDC agreed to contribute a like amount in the River District, of which the parking facility at Taney Elm Hill is a part. So essentially to support our backstopping that loan.
I don't get the connection with this project.
Well, the short of it is the Bureau of Transportation, the City of Portland, has an obligation if Solar Power defaults on the loan of $5 million.
And that, I'm sorry, it's been a long day.
I know.
I'm not following as to why that's connected with this particular project.
It was.
Okay. So the state provided a loan to Solar Power. The city backed through PBOT. Backed a portion of that loan. PD's should it, and it hasn't been called on. So they are performing on their loan. So it's a backstop that they're right now is kind of not being called on. They are actively paying their state, Solar Power is actively paying their state loan. The agreement that then backstopped, PBOT's backstop, was this intergovernmental agreement that you're considering an amendment that said, should that backstop be called upon, PDC would provide $5 million in the River District Urban Renewal Area to a project with the 10th and Yamhill Garage identified as kind of the preferred, most logical project for it to be placed in.
But Solar Power is paying its way, so
that is correct.
That $5 million is, therefore, we're saying we don't need it and it can go into this project.
Well, no. Yes and no. I mean, the $5 million that PDC is contributing holds us harmless if, for whatever reason, Solar Power defaults. I mean, it's a net zero. If they go ahead and perform on their loan and PDC gives us the money to do this redevelopment, PDC's met their commitment under this intergovernmental agreement.
And then we would give them the $5 million back?
No.
As long as we enter into a master lease agreement, the $5 million would just be a portion, an investment similar to PBOT's into the asset.
So basically, Commissioner, as I understand it, we've gone from PBOT maybe being on the hook for the Solar Power loan to PDC has made sure that at a minimum we'll be held harmless and actually we might be better off.
Correct.
If you see PDC as sort of in the shoes of Solar Power.
That's helpful. Thank you, Commissioner.
Commissioner, on that point, because I'm now confused. So we backstopped the loan because Solar Power put equipment on top of the building?
No. Solar Power's arrangement to build a facility in the Enterprise District had nothing to do with it, but Department of Energy required us in 2011 to guarantee at least $5 million of that before they'd loan the $20 million.
There's no solar-related.
There's no solar-related component to this at all.
That's helpful.
Okay. And Commissioner Novick, did you want to have something further on that?
Actually, no. I was going to say that Elves informed me that Chris Arms might have a more detailed answer to your question about the seismic issues.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. You're our champion on the council for making sure that things are earthquake safe, and so I want your opinion as well as somebody else's about why we're not actually making it earthquake safe. We're only making it so that people can get out of it.
I'm Chris Arms with the Bureau of Transportation. The previous studies that have been done on the building indicate that the stairs are the major hazardous piece in a seismic event, and they will be replaced and relocated as part of the project, so that will be addressed.
So
major,
you're telling me that the structure will stay up in a major event?
Well, as Dave indicated, it's hard to get a structural engineer to say that a building is going to maintain in a major seismic event, but based on the three engineering firms who have looked at the building, we believe that the deficiencies in the seismic will be addressed as part of this project.
Commissioner, in terms of, generally speaking, yes, you can retrofit a building to life safety standards or to it will be operational after the earthquake standards. In the unreinforced masonry building project, we sort of identified here are some kinds of buildings like hospitals that are absolutely critical. We want to make sure that they're immediately functional. It does cost a lot more to ensure that. And I have to say, even as PBOT commissioner, and although I wish we did have a precise answer to the question of what would the cost be of making this a functional parking garage after the biggest earthquake, I think that parking garages are not so essential that they would require the highest level of retrofit in a when you have limited resources.
That's true, although they might be emergency shelter locations. And also, as I said, if we're going to invest $25 million, it would be nice to know that it's going to be up for the next 50 years or so.
What I'm hearing you say, Steve, is that the marginal cost to bring it up in a case like this isn't worth it. So the $25 million is to the current specifications. If we wanted to elevate it to some higher level of protection, I assume that would cost more money.
Yes.
Okay. And you had a slide that showed an artist rendering of the new building. Could you put that up again, please?
Is that what you were looking at, Commissioner?
Yes. So it looks like the stairs are just on the outside. Is that correct?
Yes. Currently, there's stairs in each one of the four corners, and they will be concentrated at two of the corners, and they will meet current ADA, which they don't.
They'll be out in the open like this instead.
Yeah, I'm just kind of worried about that. It looks like it's inviting accidents or suicides.
Well, currently the stairs are kind of hidden, and so the goal is to have more eyes on the stairs so that people feel safer in the stairwells as they use them.
Yeah. I believe they're glass enclosed, if I'm not mistaken.
There's a certain requirement, ADA requirement, about as far as the railings. Railing height,
right.
And what the material is. So that
I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions for the team? Covered everything you need to? Okay. Anyone else wants to speak on this item?
We have two people who want to speak.
Okay.
Doug Peterson and David Gweither.
Come on up.
By the Commissioner Fritz and Novick are talking about seismic upgrades. I came into this project in late March and was aware of how things had progressed in terms of seismic evaluation. We decided that after I looked at the building that we needed some more eyes on it. So we hired a structural engineer with a seismic background named Franz Rad, who he's the head of the Department of Portland State, licensed engineer in this field, very respected. His professional designations look like the alphabet.
Could you go ahead and put your name in the record before
okay.
going
to... Oh, I'm sorry, David Gweither.
Thanks, David.
Anyway, you'll see the document that he produced. Mr. Peterson here financed his study. And one of the things that is really apparent, anybody that walks through the building could see it, is when they built the structure, they put the pillars up and then they hung the beams across it. They're reinforced concrete beams. Page 10 shows what the point that I'm trying to make. The corbels in question, they balanced the beams and then, but they didn't attach the beams to the columns. So that if the pillars move north-south in this case, let's say 6 inches, which as you go up in height, if the bottom moves a little bit, the top moves farther. The pillar falls down. It slides right off. If it moves east-west, a foot, or maybe 18 inches, same thing happens. Our structural engineer pointed out that could be fixed, sort of. You could attach that with epoxy dowels. He mentions that in his program. He also gives us a cost estimate to retrofit it, $5 to $9 million, depending on how far you want to go. Now, Portland's been very lucky. We haven't had a major seismic event for a long time, and you can interpret that two ways. Either it's not going to happen anytime soon, or we're due. The more pessimistic view, of course, is that we're due for one someday soon. Now, as public servants, you have to identify the difference between needs and wants. Everybody wants something, but we need certain things. I think this particular structure needs to have a serious seismic upgrade, a robust one, and parking structures, because of their nature, because everything's in the open, you don't have to go through sheetrock to get to the structure are one of the most the easiest to retrofit, and also be a good example. You're asking the contractors and construction companies to upgrade other buildings. Why not do it the right way with this project? $25 million is a lot of money. It represents about 1% of the total budget for the city, although this particular costs are spread in a number of different areas. So anyway, that's what I have to say about that, and Mr. Peterson could discuss his issues more in more detail.
Thank you for allowing me to appear before the council. My name is Douglas Peterson. I own Peterson's Convenience Stores. Peterson's on Morrison was our first store. That's our flagship store, where it's in the 10th and Yamhill parking garage. We've been over 31 years. We've been there, hundreds and hundreds of customers every day coming to the store. We want to be there after the remodel. I understand the remodel. I have no problem with that. That's wonderful. All the tenants have been told that we have to vacate next summer and find other locations. And for most tenants that are there, if they leave for a year, they want to be in a new location and established location. In this case, my whole business is focused on the MAX transit line, the red and blue lines, and also the streetcar lines that are out there. And my traffic patterns and everything is focused on that. I put, when the store was first opened, the construction of the light rail was underway. Jackhammers and dirt everywhere. The street was closed. They had some wooden sidewalks and everything. We opened and were successful right off the bat because we focused on getting all the construction guys to shop with us. But anyway, we want to be able to come back. And we were told that there's no guarantees you could come back. So we want to be able to come back. In 31 and a half years of serving the public, and we've been successful. I have 25 employees. They work back and forth between all the stores. The full-time people get medical benefits and vacation time, and we pay our people well, and I just want to be able to come back. I just some interesting things. I ask the Lottery Commission, how much have we sold in lottery tickets in retail at the Morrison store? And they could only go back 13 years, but in that 13 years, we sold $2,445,773 in lottery sales. All three stores in those 13 years, $6,676,000. And a good portion of the lottery proceeds go back to local communities. But I just wanted to mention that. And the other thing is, I was with Fred Meyer for 24 years, and many of the years I did remodeling for the stores, setting up new stores and remodeling old stores. I never remember closing a store for a year. We always, one store, our Walnut Park store, we moved the variety department into the lower level parking structure so that they could continue to operate while they tore down the old variety store and put in the new. And I just question whether all businesses have to be closed for a year. Can't that be done in cycles? But anyway, we want to come back, and I think a 31 and a half year successful business should get a chance to come back. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. Okay. Anyone else? Come on up, Shedrick.
I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I'm kind of intrigued about Commissioner Fritz's interest in why solar power is lending money to a building which doesn't have solar panels on it. So it's just like a solar company is lending money, and I don't know if the German company Solar World in Hillsboro does that sort of stuff. And solar power makes solar cells that are made out of plastic. I asked for a tour of the plant and see how they do this stuff and is it more advanced. And I was not returned anything. I was not allowed to have a Saturday tour of the place. So it kind of makes me feel funny about that sort of thing and about this international company called Solo World that makes the traditional solar panels versus this innovative plastic stuff.
Thank you. Okay. These two items continue to next week. Any questions or guidance before they do?
Just one question for Commissioner Novak. under the agreement, PDC would manage the retail space. Is that correct?
Right.
And PDC would therefore determine the plan for how to activate that retail space.
Right.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And the concerns have certainly been heard, and they're going to do it. They're going to do a tenanting plan. Take these concerns into account.
Yep.
Okay. So these two items pass 7074, 7075 pass next week.